A warm welcome to everybody on the line. Together with me in the room today is our CEO, Dr. Frank Hiller, as well as our CFO, Dr. Sebastian Schulte, and our new Head of Controlling, Mr. Oliver Neu. As usual, Mr. Hiller will walk you through the highlights of our nine-month results, and then Mr. Schulte will say a couple of words on our numbers before we hand over to a Q&A session. Please be aware of the disclosures at the beginning of the presentation, and I also want to point out that the call will be recorded. An audio replay, including your name and your questions, will be available for 3 months on our IR website. After that time period, it will be deleted due to data protection rules. Without much further ado, I now hand over to Mr. Frank Hiller.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, good morning and warm welcome to our 9 months figures. I would like to start with an overview of our operational and strategic highlights. First of all, the market is good. Willingness to invest remains high from our customer side. This is relevant for all regions and all segments. So we have double-digit percentage increases in new orders, in unit sales and revenue. Orders on hand have more or less doubled on a level of 0.6 billion euro. The limitation is not the market. The limitation is the supply chain. I think that goes along with the whole industry. So we have a sharp rise in the EBIT margin before exceptional items. Our restructuring program, Transform for Growth, which we have started 18 months ago, is paying off and leads also to free cash flow in a positive territory. So we confirm our guidance for 2021 despite the supply chain challenges. We achieved further milestones in our green, more or less green activities of highway drive solutions. And this is also the next point. I'd like to speak a little bit about hydrogen in this case, especially about our hydrogen engine, the TCG 7.8 H2. We presented that 2 months ago, and the engine will find its first application in the stationary equipment for power generation, together with the regional utility company Rhein Energie. And we are really happy because this is a real highlight, and we received a very good feedback from the market. And as you can follow, other companies are now also following the way of the hydrogen engine. I think this has really a big potential, and the hydrogen engine complies with the CO2 threshold set by the EU for zero emissions, so it's a zero emission engine, and we're working hard on this topic in development and preparing production for that, so that we can reach full production in 2024. Also in these circumstances with hydrogen, we are going in a cooperation with the German Aerospace Center, DLR. So the focus here is on making more or less environmental friendly construction site, means having all the equipment around with CO2 neutral approach, and also having the relevant infrastructure for this. So this is on the hydrogen engine side. Hydrogen on the other side, the fuel cell technology is interesting for us, and we went into a strategic partnership with Blue World Technology, a Danish company and developer of fuel cell components and systems, including for stationary applications, so gensets, and the automotive sector. The technology of Blue World technology is based on the reformation of methanol, which is a renewable liquid fuel. And the key aspect of this alliance is on the one side, and I think that's the most important, to have an exclusive distribution and service agreement with Blue World Technology for stationary fuel cell generators. Gives us the opportunity to sell also this technology in the future, and this is combined with a 10% stake in Blue World. This will be completed in Q4 this year. After the diligence has taken place. We expect also the fuel cell technology to be important in the off-highway segment for mobile applications in the future. So also this is a step towards a CO2 neutral future of the company. Looking at our service business, service business, as you know, is relevant for us to keep our customers happy, but also on the other side to increase our profit. And we have defined already years ago a clear path to a stronger service business, and this really pays off. Here we have a revenue increase more than 16%. New orders on hand, nearly 19%. New orders intakes, more than 18%, and orders on hand also a plus of nearly 54%. So we have substantial growth, especially from our parts business. And the target for this year is to reach a turnover of 400 million, which was defined early in last year. And I think we are on a very good way to fulfill this. Coming to China, right now, as I would say, all the construction companies, we see a market weakness in China. So far, looking at our JV with Sany, which is the most important activities are running well. Unit sales is on a level of more than 18,000 engines so far. Revenue nearly 160 million euro, and also positive EBIT contribution to our results of 1.5 million. But for sure, as you know it also from the newspapers, there are some effects which more or less cools the market down, also by political reasons. Temporary power outages is one big topic. The other thing is coronavirus. They still have challenges on that and take quite serious measures with lockdowns. Regional lockdowns, so also this is influencing activity, property market, as you know. And right now we have also the effects by the new emission legislation in China 6, which was introduced mid of the year. And for sure there's still some stock level on old trucks, which more or less reduce the demand so far. So we see this as a, I would say, temporary effect. Normally in China, downturns and upturns are quite sharp. We estimate that this might go on for 6 months, maybe 12 months, but we are also prepared for a market increase in China. And what I would like to point out is that there is no effect on our guidance for this year by this topic, and we see also no effect on the mid-term guidance on our top line to reach more than 2 billion euro turnover 2023-24. and to reach our EBIT margin of 7% to 8%. Maybe so far from my side, and I would like now to hand over to Sebastian Schulte.
Thank you, Frank, and good morning. Good day also from my side to our nine-month results call 21. If we start with the top line, looking at the top line results for the first three quarters, we see, as already stated before, significant increase in new orders from 933 million euros in the previous year, 9 months, to 1.5, slightly over 1.5, so increasing by more than 60%. One aspect to mention here is that we do have, or we did record some positive effects, particularly September and June, of more than 100 million euros coming from certain customers bringing forward their orders almost for a year. It's mainly in the U.S. as a response to longer lead times in particular and some price adjustments. We see also on the unit sales an increase by 34%, including Torqeedo engines. If we take out the Torqeedo engines, the increase is even slightly higher, 38%. So our unit sales in the first three quarters was some 145,000 units. And on the revenue side, we increased by 26% to 1.17 billion euros. What you see is then, first of all, book to bill is 1.3, still a very high ratio. Looking at our regional distribution, this is even higher in APAC and Americas. So in some of these regions, we do see that the order backlog covers more than 30, sometimes even 40 weeks of business going forward. What you also see is a slightly higher rise in unit sales than in revenue. That is due to the fact that we do observe a shift in the product mix towards smaller engines, the engines with a capacity of less than 4 liters. That explains this slight deviation in the growth path here. And orders on hand, order backlog, more than doubled now. If we compare it with the previous period, we're now on a level of 660 million euros, which is a significant number of order backlog and gives, again, a certainty of the business volume going forward, explaining then the high order backlog coverage. To move on, still continuing with the top line, looking first of all on the left-hand side, the breakdown revenue by region. So we see significant increase pretty much in all regions, led by Germany, 32%, followed Americas, 30%, and then on par Europe without Germany as well as Asia-Pacific, and lagging a little bit behind the relatively small market Africa and Middle East. But as stated before, particularly with Americas and Asia-Pacific, without the supply chain challenges and shortages, we would have grown more in revenue in those regions because a lot of that is going into order backlog. On the right side, we'll see the revenue breakdown by our application segments. And this is clearly led here, the increase by the material handling business, 71% increase compared to previous period. But also in other construction equipment, 32%, agricultural, 21%, and services mentioned by Frank Hiller earlier, growing by 16%. But we have to keep in mind that the drop in service revenue in the last year also wasn't nearly as high as in the new engine. So in total, we can see here that we have a significant increase, mostly double digit, across all regions and across all application segments we serve. Moving on to the bottom line, we do see a continued improvement in our earnings structure here, in our earnings. If we compare it with the previous period, we are now after three quarters by some 31 million EBIT. Well, we recorded the same period last year, a high loss of 66 due to the situation we had in 20, and what contributed to this increase? Well, obviously the increased volume of business, as just stated, well, benefiting here from economies of scale, but also it goes hand in hand with the cost savings as a result of our implementation of the program, the efficiency program Transform for Growth. And last but not least, last year, 2020, was also negatively impacted by suppliers, particularly in the casting business, where we had to support them in order to secure our demand, our contributions from them. So summing up, now we have achieved 2.66% after 9 months. You see on the left side that Q2 and Q3 was in the range of 3.7-3.5%. So Q3 was slightly lagging behind Q2. That's also due to a slight decrease in revenue, because in Q3 we had the summer month, which proved to be a little bit of seasonal effect. Due to holidays on our side, but also on the customer side. Net income before exceptional items, 26.8 million euros, leading to an EPS before exceptional items of 22 euro cents. Moving on to some selected key figures we see here on R&D. Slight decrease in R&D expenditure, 66 million to 59 million on the percentage of sales. The decrease is obviously higher because of sales have gone up significantly in this period compared to the previous one. Also on CapEx, we've gone down a little bit, but we had quite a high level still in 22, which at that point have been boosted up by the extension of leases and replacement of expired leases. So the whole subject of IFRS 16 booking on the, if you take that out, well, like some 3 million lower than on the previous year. And just, I think, a very, very good news is working capital. Well, it increased by 11%. However, we increased business significantly. So we were seeing here that the ratio has gone down from 18 at December 31st now to 17%, and the ratio of this decrease is influenced significantly due to quite a rigorous management on the working capital side, mainly on receivables and payables, where we are implementing a much, much stronger global management on that. And we'll see later that this helped us also in terms of cash flow. Cash conversion cycle has been reduced significantly over the past 9 months. Bringing me to cash flow and net financial position, we do see here sharp rise in cash flow, starting with cash flow from operating activities plus 87 million euros, now at 68 million in the first three quarters. Well, obviously driven by the earnings performance improvement and the earlier mentioned net working capital management across the group. We'll now look at free cash flow. We'll see also a significant increase, because paired by what I just said, we'll have here reflected the slight reduction in CapEx as well. So we are now positive after the first three quarters by 15 million euros, which again is positive news. And in that sense, net financial position stayed more or less constant, particularly as lease liabilities have gone up a little bit. If we take them out, we managed to further reduce net financial position by some 5 million euros. Finally, moving on, the balance sheet structure as well as the financing overview. And first of all, equity ratio remains at a very comfortable level. We are above 45%, and that's what we currently have defined as our target number. So here we're well on track. On the credit financing side, we informed earlier this year that we had managed to early retire the credit line, the KfW, that is the German state support facility. So we managed to return that credit line of 150 million, which was granted to us as a support aid during the COVID crisis. So we retired that ahead of schedule and secured with other banks bilateral lines of summing up to 75 million euros. This means now we remain to have unused facilities totaling 200 million are available, summing up from the 75 million bilateral lines as well as the existing 160 million syn loan, which has still a term until June 24. And you see here on the chart in the middle that currently out of that some 235 million available lines, we are utilizing only 35 million euros. On the long-term bank loans, minor numbers, what in terms of repayment profile, 10 million within 12 months, 6 million within 5 years on top. So summing up, we are well positioned here. We have a very solid and healthy structure on both balance sheet and financing situation. In that sense, thanks for your attention. I would hand back to Frank Hiller for the outlook going forward.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, coming to our guidance for the year 2021 and also midterm targets 2023 and 2024. In September 13th, we raised our guidance to unit sales of 155 to 170,000 engine revenue of 1.6 to 1.7 billion euro, EBIT margin 2 to 3% and free cash flow break even. We are confirming this, and we are also confirming our midterm targets for 23-24. And this despite of difficulties in supply chain, which we will see, and we are convinced which we will see the challenges also next year, especially in the first half of next year, and the temporary downturn in China. Maybe so far from our side, and we are open for your questions. Thank you.
Operator, yes, would you please open the line for questions? Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchdown telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of George Gonzalez Sardonier from Hauck and Aufhäuser. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you, Frank and Sebastian, for taking my question. I first would like to ask about the joint venture with Sany. The production target for the joint venture that was published in the Q4 was 80,000 in 2022, if I remember well. Can you please add a data on us on this estimate, taking into account the current new environment? And my second question will be also related to this. I have the impression that you have slightly adjusted the way you have given the EBIT contribution for this unit. Can you give us a reference for the adjusted EBIT that you expect coming from China this year? And maybe from next year, and finally, I think that at this time you are producing mostly engines for trucks. The growth of production expected for next year was also coming from truck engine production, or you were also going to deploy lines for other type of engines? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Maybe I start with China. The situation right now is that we have reached this in the GB 18,300 engines, and so far our joint venture activities with Sany is very much related to truck engines. Now, especially since October, we have really a sharp downturn because of the outages of power, and also the stock level of old trucks with the old emission legislation. So I think this will take maybe 6 months to come back on a demand level, and we are right now in the phase of reviewing what this means on volume next year. So the intention in the past with a stable market was to reach 80,000 next year all with our activities. This will not happen right now, and we are reviewing the numbers. The EBIT effect will be limited, and also the EBIT performance so far of the JV is above our expectations.
I mean, if I may continue, and if I understood your question correctly, you also wanted to understand if what is the EBIT contribution we have and if we changed our method of accounting for that. So to the latter, the answer is no. We account for the SANY joint venture or for the joint venture with SANY according to the equity method. So what we show in our accounts, and you saw it earlier on the presentation when Frank Hiller showed his outlook in China. So in the first three quarters, the share of this joint venture, of this profit, of this equity accounted investment was €1.5 million. And it comes from the net income from the joint venture, so earnings after tax, and then reduced by a PPA effect in our accounting. So 1.5 is the result we've seen in the last 9 months.
Sebastian, sorry. So for the previous quarter, you commented that the contribution was 3 million and now it's 1 million. This is because of the PPA then. Can you give then us a guidance of the PPA for the full year, please?
Yeah, the PPA is in the range of 0.3 million per quarter. So full year, roughly 1 million. A little more, but on the range. So small effect.
Mr. Gonzalez, have you finished your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Charlotte Friedrich from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions. Three, if I may. Also starting with your China joint venture. So is it correct to look at it this way, that you have maybe a run rate of 3,000 to 4,000 engines per quarter now for the next 6-12 months, and then an improvement thereafter, but you're not quite sure about how big that improvement will be at the moment? The second question would be around the supply chain. Can you give us an update where you are now in terms of cumulative price increases and when you think that you will basically balance out with raw material price increases here? And then thirdly, on cost savings, can you not give us an update on where you are now as of 9 months 2021, what the expectation is for the full year this year and then the years after? Thank you.
Maybe I start with SANY, the activities. Right now, you know, you have to assume that the factory in SANY, the truck production is completely shut down by these power outages. And this is more or less the situation which you find in the whole industry. In some cases, they really have reduced the power distribution by 100%. Yeah, they completely shut down the activities. So it's right now it's difficult to say how long this will last, and what will be the effect on the figures. So we are right now in the phase of re-evaluating this. In an overall view, we are absolutely convinced that this will come back then later on even stronger, because our addressable market with our products is 40% of this is China. And also the second topic you raised, supply chain, I think also here China helps us because this gives us the opportunity for second source, and for sure we have increases on the cost side on the supply chain, but right now it's also the time to pass this to our customers, and for sure nobody wants to have higher prices and higher costs, but there is a clear understanding also of our customers that additional raw material prices and other effects have to be passed through.
And following up with your third question regarding the progress of the efficiency program, Charlotte, you know that in 2020 we had the range of 12 to 15 million euros first bucket of cost savings. And in 21, in the full year, we're pitching somewhere between 35 and 40 right now. And after 9 months, we are in the high 20s of what we have achieved. The majority of that effect relates to staff costs. On the one hand, that was a reduction in particular overhead due to this redundancy, voluntary redundancy program, where we reported in the past on that we have achieved our target numbers. But this also includes financial effects across the operations, across the company, in Germany at least, due to the agreements we had reached between company, the Works Council and the unions regarding the collective bargaining agreement. You know, there were some voluntary contributions by the employees, which we're utilizing and obviously which contributing to the numbers. So we are on track towards that 35 to 40 million for the full year in the high 20s, what we achieved so far.
Understood. Thank you. One follow-up on the supply chain and pricing situation. If you add together all of the price increases that you've passed so far, where are you now and are you planning any additional ones?
Yeah, we are in permanent discussions, and for sure looking at our contracts, you know, there are some regulations inside. If there are extraordinary effects, we have to discuss it, and so we are in permanent discussions with our customer. And this is not only a discussion of price increases by higher costs. This is also a discussion of the volume they need. For sure, the whole industry is short, and also there, I would say, is a good lever for us. We can only serve our customers in a good way if, you know, we have prices on a level which cover the additional costs on the supply chain side. So the ongoing discussion, and I can tell you, sales colleagues, they are really very busy with customers about supply situation, about price situation. So this goes hand in hand.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question is from the line of Richard Schramm from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. So I'm have to come back to this last topic, the increasing prices to compensate the higher costs you have. So if I understood you correctly, there is no automatism in your contracts that you can pass on at least a certain portion of material prices to your customers, as some other companies can do, obviously, with a kind of price escalation clause. So you have to negotiate, obviously, your contracts one by one. Is that correct? And or do you have a certain kind of list price increase which you apply for, let's say, next quarter or so, which is then generally valid for all customers. Can you explain a bit how this process runs? Thanks.
Good morning. It's not really that there is no automatism at all. It's a mixed picture. We do have certain contracts which do have price escalation formulas, but there are other contracts which are not completely modeled through. In the end, it's as Frank said, it's a combination of, on the one hand, applying these formulas where they exist, but on the other hand, also taking account for extraordinary effects coming from the supply chain at the moment. And that's why it's really not an automatism for the entire portfolio, but a combination of automated application of formulas as well as discussions and negotiations on top.
Okay. So this suggests that there is quite obviously then a time lag you have to bear to until you have compensation via higher prices from your customers, right? So can you give us an idea how big this gap is you have to bridge for the current year?
It's correct, there is a gap. There is a gap on the customer side. There's also a gap on the supply side because we have similar structures in place with our suppliers. And you know, if you remember our statements on the book-to-bill and on the order coverage, you obviously see also different gaps in different with different customers in different regions. So what we can certainly see is we did a major initiative around the first half of the year, and we're beginning to see the effects now on both sides, supply as well as on the customer side, in our P&L. But it's not the same. Let's say 3 months or 5 months across the board. You'll have some going earlier, and you have some going later.
Mr. Schramm, we know, I think, this circumstance is quite well out of the past, and we are starting discussions with our customers also in times when, you know, prices on the supply chain side are still on the same level, but we see that price increases are upcoming. So we do quite a front loading on this also in the discussion with our customers. So the time lag in between, I think, will not be that significant.
Okay, thank you.
We have a
so
follow-up.
This, maybe to make it clear, this discussions about cost and price increases have already started at the beginning of this year.
Okay, thank you. And just a quick follow-up on the order side. I think we discussed this already last time. Visibility there, if there are double bookings in orders or not, because customers might fear that there is a shortage of supplies and they might order in excess of what they actually need. Do you think there is some activity like this going on there, or can you rule that out?
Yeah, good point. And we are very cautious. We are very cautious here. So the orders on hand, you know, could be much higher than what we are showing right now, taking all possible orders in. But the limitation right now is more or less our capacity. So we don't think that there are double bookings inside so far. We'll see how this goes on. Right now, we are convinced that the whole next year will be a year where the market will not be a problem, where more or less limitation on the capacity side, especially on the supplier side, will be the challenge. So we don't see really restrictions also for next year, not from the market side, challenges on the supply chain side.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have a follow-up question from Jorge González-Sadonier. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my follow-up. I would like to ask again, and sorry about that, the joint venture with Sany. Can you give us an indication of the EBIT that you expect to the EBIT contribution that you expect from this joint venture, taking into account the production you are now estimating for this year, the 22,000? And regarding this year, although you have already commented that you are evaluating the situation, can you confirm if you still plan to deploy new lines for producing engines for off-highway type of machinery, or if you are also thinking about this and revaluating the plan also in this sense. Thank you.
We are doing in this plant engines for on as well as for off highway, and I can tell you that the collaboration with SANY is very strong, and they are putting more and more orders to the joint venture, also more which was planned in the past. Talking about the EBIT development. So for this year, more or less, it was planned to in the original business planning to have a neutral EBIT margin, more or less a break-even result. This is so far still better, and also last year we performed much better. In the long run, the EBIT margin for China is also planned on this level of our company target of 7 to 8%. The target is to, or the original planning was to reach this in 2023-24, and we are still convinced that will work, because the now the downturn, we see this really just for limited time. And this is such a sharp downturn that we are convinced that there will be within some months also a sharp upturn.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Charlotte Friedrichs. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two questions. The first one on the supply chain. Are you seeing any indications that the supply situation is starting to get better already, or is it rather the case that it's still hard to tell, no clear signs in any particular direction?
September was a very very challenging months for us. Now October went much better, but it's still not really stable, and the biggest impact comes from semiconductors for sure, and we are here convinced that this will be also a shortage going into the next half year or the first half year of 2022. But what we have seen now in October is that it has become much more better, but it's too early to say if this will go in this direction, because it's still a little bit unstable. We are with a lot of suppliers, especially on the electronic side, in daily discussions and about the logistic chain and so on. It's still not really stable.
Understood. The second question is a bit more general. So if you look at your non-diesel portfolio, with the current setup that you had, where would you like to strengthen that, for instance, through further M&A or partnerships? Are you happy with what you have at the moment, or are there still perhaps some white spots that you want to fill?
I think the general development will go very much into CO2 neutral applications. So what we really focus on is our hydrogen activities. You have seen the minority share acquisition of Blue World Technology. And also electrification. We have next week our Capital Market Day. I hope to see you all there. And you will see that there will be a real focus on, I would say, green technology, because we are convinced that this will even more speed up in the future, and that we are really in a leading role there. So, looking just at the hydrogen engine, I think, you know, the feedback from the market was enormous. And I'm really happy to see that also other companies are taking now this this direction. This helps us to also generate a good supply base for hydrogen engines. The good thing is for this hydrogen engine, we have already capacities here, but there have to be some new development on the supplier side for injection systems and so on. And it's much more interesting for the supply base. It's not only one company is following this way, if other companies are also going in this direction. So talking about acquisition and where we spend our money on R&D in the future, it's more or less all goes into the direction of sustainable drives. For sure, we have also to make the existing classical, I would say classical, drivetrains and combustion engines also in the future cleaner. This will be also a topic, but it's very much related to technology.
Thank you very much.
There are no more questions at this time. I hand back to Christian Ludwig for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much for your participation and your questions. If there should be any questions left open, please contact myself or the IR department. And as Mr. Hiller said, we hope to see as many of you as possible next week at our Capital Market Days. And if we don't see you there, we'll talk to you at the latest with our full year results in March next year. Thank you so much and goodbye.